There you go. It's kind of like AC/DC, but not AC/DC. It's kind of a generic AC/DC, and that's what we get here at Blog Talk Radio. We get generic, kind of seems like AC/DC, but it really isn't. That's what you get here. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. Nisha and I are trying to hold down the fort. We've got two wonderful guests on today, and 30 minutes will fly by. So while we do this, we have Chris and Shannon on. Chris, why don't you open up and tell us a little bit, you know, introduce yourself, and then introduce the firm that you're with.
Hey, thanks, William. So, Chris Dunn. By the way, William, I kind of got the Black Crowes from that little ditty rather than AC/DC. Thoughts?
Huh. Yeah, I could see that.
Got a little Black Crowes, but anyway. So Chris Dunn, I'm one of the partners at Kinetics, along with Shannon Russo, who's with us today as well. And you know, real simply, what Kinetics is, we're an RPO firm for growth companies. So when companies have growth needs from a recruiting perspective, that A, they want some help, or B, they want some help for a while they figure out what their long term game plan is. We're a company that goes in and helps those growth companies solve some of the recruiting needs from an RPO perspective, which means we help them with multiple, like, tracks of positions rather than single position recruiting. So we're an RPO firm. We're based out of Atlanta. Shannon Russo, who's with us today, is really the founder and my partner at Kinetics. And in addition to RPO, we do a little single position search when we have time. We also do some talent consulting, do a lot of things involving performance management, other forms of HR, and also some recruiting consulting when people don't need a recruiter. They just want fresh thoughts about maybe different ways they should be looking at the recruiting game. So that's it in a nutshell. Does that help, William?
Yeah, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting. That's what we are.
We've got one big blade and then a couple of smaller blades. That's correct.
Nice. And some Chinese throwing stars, which was always my favorite growing up. I don't know what my parents were thinking when they took me to a gun show and they allowed me to get a blowgun and some Chinese stars. But it worked out.
So, William, I don't know how we got on this track. I think I probably aided this a little bit. But my wife is binge-watching Lost right now on Netflix. And I asked her two days ago, I said, so you're at episode 104. What are you learning? She said, well, the biggest thing I've learned is if you're going to shoot somebody, don't take the gun right up next to them. Shoot them from afar. So that's kind of like your Chinese throwing star paradigm.
Yeah. Hey, I got pretty good at it. I got pretty good at that at nunchucks. I was pretty good. I was your, I didn't have a slingshot. Friends of mine had slingshots. I did not have a slingshot. So I skipped that one thing. Shannon, do us a favor. Get us back on track. What's keeping y'all's customers up at night? What's keeping them? What's top of mind for them?
Top of mind, the kind of big thought that we were thinking about for today was the whole employment brand thing. And I'm not going to kind of dive into the EVP, but it seems to be top of mind for lots of people. They're saying, oh, the war for talent is coming back. We got to figure out our employment brand. We got to figure out what to do with it. So that's kind of the big thing of the moment for us and for the clients that we're talking to.
And the reason that all this is kind of new yet very old is, in y'all's mind, is it mobile? Is it social? Is it Yelp? Like, what? Why is it today that they're kind of waking up and having this feeling, Chris?
Well, I think it's all those things, right? I think one of the things we've learned from an RPO perspective is that if we're going to partner with someone, and we're going to do that at a fairly deep level, what we really love to do for the companies that can take the feature set is we like to do things that maybe they wouldn't expect from another RPO firm. So one of the things we do is we get deep into their employment brand. And I guess we feel, to go back to your question, William, we feel like it probably all leads with content. And when you think about, like, someone's careers website, for example, rather than, you know, putting the normal stock art, which we all like to make fun of, rather than putting the stock art up there and kind of this aspirational, like, set of statements, really what we like to do is we like to create a content map for the companies that will let us do it. And we like to tell their story about what it's actually like to work there with real people, in real departments doing real work. And what we found is that that has, like, tons of values for the companies that will take on that approach. So, again, back to your question, we would view recurring, frequently updated content telling that story as really the core, and then everything else that emulates from that, any type of distribution, social certainly, like, part of that is just that, it's distribution. It's not the strategy in itself. Telling the story is really the strategy in itself.
And
so,
the one
so
piece,
in a good,
William.
Oh, go ahead, Shannon. Go ahead.
The one piece that I would add to that is that telling the story, Chris mentioned it, it's of critical importance not to try to do a spin. It really needs to be who you are, and then I'll let you go. But that's a big miss a lot of times is, oh, we need to have some shiny, flashy things that aren't at all us, and we need to put those out there, and they're beautiful.
Well,
we don't think that's
company,
the right approach.
Yeah, in a good company, it seems like employer branding's, even if you haven't done it, if you're running a solid company, it's going to be easier because you've done some things well. I think the challenge is when you're not good, or maybe even the darker side of that, when you're a bad company and trying to put some type of lipstick on the pig. How do y'all deal with that? When you dig in, you find maybe they're not as good as you thought, or maybe they have some challenges that they were unaware of. And Chris, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll take that and say that, you know, even companies that think they have those types of issues, they're probably, when you peel off the covers, there's a lot of great people doing really good work, even with maybe some of the challenges you mentioned. Whatever that image is, whatever their challenges are, whatever they think their challenges are, whether the market agrees with that or not, there's great stories to tell. So when you go back to a recruiting perspective, if you can tell those stories, even if there are some challenges with the business model that the outside world sees, if you can tell those stories, people can see themselves fighting that fight, trying to help the company get better, and you can connect with candidates on that level. So I think you're only, back to Shannon's point, you're only really held hostage. You know, if you think you have any of those issues, you're really only held hostage to that to the extent that you try and tell an aspirational story rather than really digging in and talking about a day in the life. Because if you tell that aspirational story, even in the good companies, if you get over aspirational related to the theme you want to say and it doesn't sound real, what we're finding more and more today, you know, in the Glassdoor era, you know, kind of this Yelp factor that's happened with reviews everywhere, including, you know, in cultures, in the workplaces, ultimately candidates, they can smell a phony a mile away. And Shannon, I'll let you bounce in there if you've got anything to add.
Yeah. Well, I think the important component that seems to get forgotten is there are lots of people who are excited and willing to do things that surprise all of us. Wasn't there a show about that, Dirty Jobs, as an example? And that seems to be a miss. So if you kind of step back and say there are people who are going to be excited about almost any opportunity, and I'll give you one just from some of our history. One of our clients had a culture where, the hours were 5 to 9. And no, I didn't say that backwards. But for the right person who is willing to brave that and work hard, you would get promoted dramatically more quickly than virtually any other company. So, you know, I don't know if you'd call that the silver lining, but if you're honest and transparent about what the challenge might be, there's also an opportunity embedded in that. So it's, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, even where there are some things that, you know, in a general sense, you could say that doesn't sound like a great thing, right?
So how real is too real? So as you're discovering certain things about the firms that you work with, and y'all do this for yourselves as well. Y'all handle a lot of the EB stuff for your own firm. But how real is too real? And Shannon, why don't you start us off?
Well, you know, stories from the bathroom, probably a little too real. just starting with that. So, you know, I think when you think about sharing real life, a day in the life, you know, that's the right way to think about it. Things that you may not tell your mother, you might want to think about before you share them. That might be a good mantra. Chris, I'll let you add.
Yeah, I would say, you know, anything that talks about, you know, the customers of the company is too real. Talking about the challenges of the job is probably the sweet spot. You can talk about challenges, but Shannon's earlier point, kind of in the 5-to-9 paradigm, not the 9-to-5 paradigm, like talking about the challenges, but then talking about what people get out of that and why it's making them better as a professional with a career, that's kind of the sweet spot. I think if you go below that Mendoza line and you get into probably an area like with customers and things like that, that no company is probably willing to do, and for good reason.
All right, so Chris, what's your take on awards like Best Places to Work or Great Places to Work?
I'm a proponent in that I think it's brilliant marketing. You know, I'm on the record as saying that if I was going to consult with a company about getting on the Best Places to Work list, I would tell them there are two things that they need to do. And with one of those, they can write a check. And then with one set of things, they can't. So the first set of things, if you want to get on the Best Places to Work list, you need to have, like, benefits that other people can't afford. You need to have some shock and awe factor about your benefits, about your workplace. You know, you got to have, like, dogs walking around. It's no longer enough just simply have one ping pong table, William. You need at least three or four, right? Maybe even bumper.
Maybe
pool,
a treehouse.
Dare I say.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you've got this set of things you can buy, but then the second part of it is you really got to be good from an organizational perspective, and that's the harder thing to do. I think some companies can get on the list simply by, you know, the kind of the first level. They can write a check and get on that, and by their way in, especially some of the smaller lists, I think when you get to the regional and national things, it's harder to do that. So back to your original question, I'm a fan. I mean, I think you play that game and you get out there and you do it. But we would say that, hey, go ahead and get on that list, but then you've got a burden to tell the story to a much deeper level than just saying you're on the Best Places to Work list.
And Shannon, what's it like to work, if you were taking an employee's view, what's it like to work with you and Chris?
Thanks, William. I think it is an interesting mix. So Chris and I are a little bit of a yin and a yang, but very similar in many ways, and I think you would know that. Working for us gives you lots of opportunity to really shine, but there's a cost that comes with that, I will say, in terms of that responsibility.
That's great. Well, my yeah, that's cool. Well, my question is for Chris, that is with the follow-up thought of what he has shared about Great Place to Work. Chris, do you think, does a workplace have to be fun in order to be a great place to work?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, it's a good question. I think a lot of the things you could buy, like from, you know, you could buy like workspace that looks unbelievable, you know, and you can have studies that back up that fosters better teamwork and things like that. So you can buy a lot of those things. A lot of those things visually equate into fun. But I think it's the second set of things, like, hey, you know, we've got like great mentoring here and we can prove it. And, you know, here's more about that. You know, we've got a commitment to career development that goes beyond simply writing checks for training. And here's more about that. I don't think a workplace has to be fun, but if it's not fun, if you're going to make a Best Places to Work list, then your workplace better be deep with a lot of those human capital things. And that's why, like, you know, when I'm on the record talking about Best Places to Work, I'm a supporter, I'm a fan. I think the system can be gamed a little bit. So back to your question, if it's not going to be fun, then it has to be deep. Deep is harder to do than fun, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed. Well, so when it comes to being authentic, you know, we normally say if you're going to picturize your organization's employer brand or providing a branding message, you got to be authentic. So what do you recommend? What does that mean? What does that authenticity mean when it comes to building an employer brand?
So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that can go into that. But I'll give you a simple one just to kind of start the conversation. You know, we talk about having people involved with social. So I would tell you that if you really want authenticity, like there's no like better way to do it than to really support your people being active socially, talking about what they're working on at work, and then grab a widget like you see like on a lot of like blogs and stuff like that, and aggregate a list. You know, aggregate a Twitter list of your people and make that front and center, like in a careers presence, and just have people randomly be able to go out and see what those folks are talking about. That's something that's very authentic. You can't fake it, but unfortunately most companies aren't willing to do that. The easier way, and the way we would probably kind of ask our clients to walk before they run in that regard, is we would say, hey, let's dig in and let's actually talk about what somebody's working on in a job in question. And by the way, we're selfish as recruiters. We would always want that kind of deeper profile to be on something we were recruiting on. But let's dig into what somebody's working on in that group, in that work group within the company, and let's have them talk about what the challenges are. I think anytime you mix, you know, the, hey, these are my challenges, this is where it goes wrong, if you mix that with what's right, then you automatically get credit, because that's a place where 99% of companies aren't willing to go from an authenticity perspective.
Great. Well, Shannon and Chris, you guys, HR Tech is right around the corner, and you guys are presenting there. So tell us a little bit about your presentation, what you guys are going to be sharing to the audience out there.
So the session, I'm doing the session. Shannon will be there for sure. So I am doing a session at 1:30 on Wednesday, the opening day per se of HR Tech. And I'll have a guy, a real interesting guy named David Works, who's the Chief Human Resources Officer at Windstream, which is a big kind of telecom business services type play. They're a Fortune 500 company. And Windstream is a Kinetics client. We've been doing RPO for them. Shannon, check me, at least a year and a half, right? Maybe a little bit longer than that. So we've been doing, they've been an RPO customer of ours for a year and a half. So David's going to be on stage with me. And what we're going to be talking about is really, like, David's a real interesting guy. You guys will love him if you get a chance to see the session, because he's a former McKinsey consultant. And before that, he was a nuclear submarine officer. And we're going to kind of, you know, talk a little bit about his background. And then we're going to get into, real quick, why somebody like that decides to chase an HR leadership role. And then we're going to talk about him coming into Windstream, kind of like what he and the rest of the leadership team walked into from kind of a legacy RBOC, Regional Bell Operating Company Telecom. It's the former Altel. And then as they morphed that business model through acquisition and just doing best practices from an internal perspective, they've tried to morph that into more of what I would consider not only a telecom company, but a technology company. And we're going to talk about a lot of the things that really they've chased over the last 3 to 4 years. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've done for them from an RPO perspective, but it's going to be broader than that. And then when we talk about our RPO partnership, we'll talk about some of the things we've done that not only are related to recruiting, but we've done a lot of work for them on the careers website that they've been able to take above and beyond the patch we've helped them with from an RPO perspective. And we've been able to give them tools to help them kind of chase their mission related to everything they've done with human capital at Windstream over the last three to four years. So, Shannon, that's my take on what David and I are going to be talking about. Anything I missed?
No, I think the only other piece that's sort of the bonus that we would say is a little bit 2.0 for employer value prop stuff is that I think you guys are also going to talk about the differences between the components of their business. So from a straight CLEC kind of part to the hosted, which is highly technical, managed data center part of the business. And then, you know, our bonus part would be creating content tracks around that, again, selfishly maybe from a recruiting standpoint, but also to help showcase the different areas and functional responsibilities at the company.
Excellent ad.
Great. So while we were talking more about your presentations out there, give our audience a little bit, a few takeaways that they can get from your session from based on, let's say, content-rich career site. What does it mean to have a content-rich career site?
Yeah, so what we'll be talking about... Yeah, that's great. So what we'll be talking about a little bit is we're going to talk about our RPO relationship. So we recruit on their behalf under their brand as an RPO partner, and then we're going to really track people through really what they've built from a careers perspective, and we've assisted them with that. But we're going to walk people through kind of a roadmap about if they want to do that on their own, or with a partner like us, we're going to talk to them about what some of the core components are as you map that plan out. What do you want to accomplish? How is the career site part of that? How are things like social part of that? You know, and you know, William, you asked me earlier, we talked about content and social being a distribution model. We'll talk about ways to get executives involved in social and smart ways to run that platform to make those executives look probably more engaged socially than maybe they have time to be. So we'll talk about those tracks a little bit. The other big thing we're going to talk about is how, you know, when you start thinking about your employment brand and how that manifests itself from a careers perspective, we're going to talk about kind of the unique way that Windstream went about that. And really what they did is they built a careers presence in a way where I would say, and Shannon can, you know, talk about this. She can, like, come in with her own thoughts. But they built their career site, and we helped them with this, in a way where they probably get as much bang for their buck from an employee engagement perspective as they do from a recruiting perspective. And what I mean by that is, as we've helped them tell their stories on a week-to-week basis, they use a lot of the content that we create and promote with their partnership. They use a lot of that content for internal communications to the same extent or even to a greater degree than they use it for recruiting messaging. So they use it like internally facing as well as externally facing. And that's something I haven't seen a lot of companies do. It's something that I think is unique to what their approach is, and it's been pretty powerful. I think they've got a lot of momentum in that way. Shannon, I know you agree with that. Anything to add to that?
So the only thing is, you know, the way that I might frame that up is that could be the next generation of employer value prop topics that people are going to talk about, right? So right now it's very centered on, why do I want to work for you if you are an employer? But if you really think about it in a more holistic manner, the true broad employer value prop includes the people who work for you today. So if you think about what you just said in terms of turning that content internally, in my mind, that's really a great way to do it, because it's not just the people you're trying to get to come, but it's after they get there. And certainly you wouldn't want to be, you know, it's you need to be transparent all the way through, so you don't want there to be a thud. Let's say you got really good on the external side. You don't want there to be a thud when you get inside and you're like, hey, what happened to this cool kind of culture that I saw, right? Because that's going to be just as bad and not truly transparent to your brand. So I think, you know, they're thinking ahead in terms of using it that way, but I think that's where it's going to go in terms of, I'll say, EVP 2.0, just to kind of get William going.
Great. So while we were talking about that transparency, let's target that at the very beginning of a connection between an organization and the candidate's expo, and why we use ATS and other social integration tools to provide a better candidate experience and to bring that transparency to those candidates. How do you think brands control or probably maximize these tools when it comes to from a candidate engagement perspective?
So, you know,
go ahead, Shannon.
Shannon, you go ahead, and then we'll...
I'll just say something really quick, and then, Chris, you can jump in. Sure. But so you mentioned the ATS, and just to kind of take it all the way down into the weeds, that's a really simple and consistent way to start to build an employer value kind of message across, and people ignore it. So when you're turned down for a job, what do we do as a company? What is the messaging that comes out of our ATS? When you apply for a job, literally, what does that messaging say, and what do we do, and how consistent is that across at every stage through the process? That's a, you know, a little microcosm, but it's too often overlooked and could be a simple start to say, this is how we want to be and where we want to go. You know, we can talk about lots of big things, but a lot of times people are like, I just need to know where to start. Your ATS messaging, great place to start, simple place to start.
Yeah, and the thing I would add to that is, you know, like the simplest thing that we would tell people, and we actually, one of the things we're doing at HR Tech, if anybody's listening, you're out there and you want to spend a couple of minutes with us, we're actually rewriting, as part of like our presence at HR Tech, we're actually offering to rewrite like 5 core ATS messages for anybody that wants to engage with us a little bit. And how we're going to do that's real simple, and people can take swings at it for themselves. But basically, if you want to stand out in a crowd of many, many employer brands from an ATS messaging perspective, it's real simple. Just talk like a normal human being talks. Like if you do that, like if you wipe out the default messages and lose a lot of the formality and talk like your people around your office talk, if you can match that voice in your ATS messaging, you'll be at the 98th to 99th percentile of all ATS messaging tracks that are out there. And you know, candidly, ATS messaging is probably one of the biggest, you know, points of leverage for an employment brand and everything related to that to stand out.
Right. That might be the area where some of the organizations are least bothered about it or probably not exploring that much, I guess. Probably they might not... They don't know about exploring that ATS when it comes to building their employer branding messages out there. Well, Chris and Shannon, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your lunch time with us. And I guess William is on mute at this point. So, again, thank you from on behalf of William as well. So where can people connect with you, come and find you? You guys are presenting at HR Tech. So how would you want to be connected with your audience?
Hey, I'll take that. You can find us on the web at www.kinetixhr, that's kinetixhr.com. You know, my Twitter handle is Chris_Dunn. Shannon's is at kinetixhr. Shannon, anything else you want to add for them to find us?
No, I think those are probably the best. We're not hiding anywhere else either, so you can find us on the rest, but I think those are the simplest.
And 1:30 Wednesday at HR Tech, join us. I'll have David Works. I think we've got the only Fortune 500 CHRO at HR Tech presenting. So David's kind enough to do that with us. We're really looking forward, and we'll have a fun session.
Wow. So good luck with all the shows, and good luck with HR Tech. And we will talk to you all soon on our next show sometime again. So thanks, Chris
and
Shannon. Thanks for joining with us. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.